Okay, good morning, good vach. Welcome back. It's been a while. When's the last time we... Definitely before Pesach, obviously. But it's a great pleasure to be back here at Shari Tzedek to share Divrei Torah from the Shailos Teshuvos Har Tzvi, Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, which we've been learning together for already almost, I don't know, 3 months, 4 months, something like that. It's great to be back. I wanted to thank the Seeger family for sponsoring the shir this morning, in honor of like everything that ever happened to them, so from what I saw based on the list. So it's hard to list all of it, but we daven for Refuah Shleimah, we're commemorating things, and we hope all of it comes as it should. The topic today that we wanted to discuss is related to Sfiras HaOmer. Why not? We're in the middle of counting the big mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. In order to understand the tshuva that the Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank writes here, it's an interesting tshuva because you'll see, it contains a little bit of lamdus, it contains a little bit of halacha, and it contains a little bit of history as well in terms of confusing some stories that may or may not have happened the way they're described in different books. So it's interesting to attack all of those things. But the topic, in order to understand it, we really need to just review something very, very basic to the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. We need to get a little bit of a background into the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, something I think all of us have heard about before and have some familiarity with. We just have to review the basics in order to understand the tshuva, where it's from and where it's going. So Tosfos Menachos and Daf Samech Vav Min Aleph quote a very famous shita of the Bahag from the Gaonim, the Baal Halachos Gedolos. The Bahag had an opinion. We'll see soon. It's not a well accepted opinion, but it is an opinion in the Rishonim. He's a Gaon from before the Rishonim, even that if one forgot to count Sfiras HaOmer during the course of the 49 days, so you get up to day 4. And you forget to count day 4, so you're out for the rest of the Sfira. Meaning you can no longer continue to count with a bracha. You should continue to count, as we'll talk about soon, without a bracha. But you've no longer you've lost the opportunity basically to continue counting throughout Sfira with a bracha. Why? The pasuk says, this is all he really describes for us. The pasuk says Sheva Shabbosos, a pasuk in this week's parsha, Parshas Emor, Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tihena, that you have to count 50 days. So question: we don't really count 50 days; we count 49 days. That's a sugya for a different time. Where do we count the 50th day? Or maybe we don't. The pasuk says Chamishim. Is it 49 or 50? Okay, we'll talk about that another time, maybe. But Sheva Shabbosos Tmimos Tihena. Tmimos means full; they have to be complete. If you've missed a day, it's not a complete count. You're missing a part of the completion, so therefore you're not able to continue the count with a bracha. It's not the full mitzvah that you had been trying to accomplish. Now, the simple understanding of the Bahag, this is by no means the only understanding. If you look, my Rebbe, Rav Shechter Shlita, has in his Sefer Eretz HaTzvi a different understanding entirely, a very, very interesting and important understanding, which has nafka minas lahalacha. Even if you pass like the Bahag, it will have nafka minas lahalacha. You have to look at the piece in there to understand it. We don't have time to get into it. But the simple, basic understanding of the Bahag is what the Sefer HaChinuch says. The Sefer HaChinuch says in the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer in Shin Vav, the Chinuch says that the idea is as follows. When we count Sfira, there's really two ways to look at it. Is it every day is its own mitzvah? There's 49 units of mitzvahs? Or no, the 49 days combined to one mitzvah, Sfiras HaOmer, meaning what's the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah to count each day, or is the mitzvah to count 49 days, and you need to do 49 separate days in order to get up to the total number? So if you assume that the mitzvah is one complete unit of a mitzvah, tmimos tihiena, that there's one complete mitzvah of counting 49 days, then if you've missed one, you can't count 49 days because you missed one already, and that will ruin you for the rest of the sfira, which is why the Bahag says that you have to stop counting with a bracha. You should continue to go without a bracha, but you should stop counting with a bracha. Tosfos themselves, when they quote this Bahag, they say, Tema gedolahu. This is bewilderment. They don't understand it at all. This is unbelievable. Ve'lo yitachin. They say it's impossible. It's hard to believe. It can't be correct what the Bahag says. The Rush at the end of Maseches Pesachim agrees with the Baalei Tosfos. He quotes the Bahag and he says it can't be. It's not possible. Why not? The Rush says very clearly the opposite idea of what we just said before. He says it's not true that there's one mitzvah of counting 49 days, one mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer over the course of 49 days, but rather there are 49 separate and distinct units of mitzvos over the course of Sfiras HaOmer, and you need to count each of those days, each one is an independent mitzvah, which results in the opposite opinion, which is that even if you miss day 4, day 5 is its own mitzvah. Day 6 is its own mitzvah. Each day is independent, and you can continue counting with a bracha. That is a machlokes between the Bahag on the one hand and the Baalei HaTosfos, as we just quoted, on the other hand. The truth is, if you look throughout the Rishonim, the majority opinion is not like the Bahag. The Bahag is a minority opinion. He assumes that you're out after you miss a day, but the rest of the Rishonim really don't agree with that. They think that really each day can be counted on its own. So how should we paskin? How do we paskin? If you miss a day, you're out. You're out. You take off your yarmulke, you're done. Right? You're out of Judaism. That's what we really assume in the halacha. That's correct. But how did we get there? Because usually the way we pass in shaylas, if you have a majority opinion versus a minority opinion, so we pass like the majority. Everyone else disagrees with the Bahag over here. So I'm not really here to answer that question. But it is true, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Simon Tuf Pei Tes, that's Hilchos Sfiras Omer, Sif Ches, the Shulchan Aruch does pass like the Bahag. In the Beis Yosef, the initial sefer the Shulchan Aruch wrote in order to compile halacha, the Shulchan Aruch is supposed to be a review sefer that he wants us to finish once a month. How many people here keep that schedule? You have to finish the Shulchan Aruch once a month. Okay, so even if we don't finish it once in a lifetime, would be nice also. But in the Beis Yosef, which predated the Shulchan Aruch, what he wrote originally, he quotes both opinions. He quotes the Bahag and he quotes the Baalei Tosfos who disagree. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he just says the halacha is like the Bahag, that if you miss the single day within Sfiras Omer, you are out and you can no longer count with a bracha. Why is that? I don't know. I don't know why he was so machmir like the Bahag. If it's against all the other opinions, it could just be the chumrah of bracha levatala, to be concerned about a bracha when there's one opinion in the Rishonim, you have to go like a das yachid. We don't always assume that. But here, somehow the Bahag stuck lehalacha. It's a strange thing, like I said, because Rov Rishonim don't hold that way. Some people have tried to change the practice over the course of history. Some of the poskim, some chassidish, some litvish as well, have tried to push that we should, if someone misses a day of Sfiras Omer, they really should continue with the bracha. Because at the end of the day, it's not the opinion, the Rishonim, not the majority opinion, like the Bahag. So why did the Shulchan Aruch pass like him? So really we should change the minhag. That is the wrong approach to halacha, probably. Rav Asher Weiss points this out in one of his essays, but it's obvious. Klal Yisrael accepted the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, when the Ramah disagrees, so Ashkenazim have a different hanaga, but here the Ramah was silent. So you're basically arguing on a Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, who are supposed to be setting the tone for halacha for all of history for the Jewish people, to say against them and make a bracha with that against that cheshbon, that's hard for us to do. So the poskim have done that, basically been called to task for doing so. The accepted practice is to follow the Shulchan Aruch. If a person misses a day of Sfiras Omer, the Mishnah Berura says you absolutely should keep counting without a bracha, but you can't make a bracha the rest of the days. Yeah.
So what about counting the weeks?
Excellent. We'll get to that. Bli Nether. Excellent. The there's an interesting book. It's originally called the Sefer Makor Baruch, which was written by Baruch Epstein, who is a nephew of the Netziv. The family tree is, it would take 45 minutes just to explain the family tree in terms of the Netziv of Baruch Epstein and whatever. The Tamima is Baruch Epstein and the Aruch HaShulchan are all related. You know, this is his son. So it would take time to explain the whole family tree. Let's just for now assume that the Netziv was the uncle of the Torah Tamima. So he wrote a book called Makor Baruch, which is a very interesting, very colorful accounting of different parts of Jewish history at that time. So it was translated into English into a book called My Uncle the Netziv by his nephew. And it's not the full Makor Baruch. If you want all the stories and if you want all the halachos, you have to read the Hebrew version. But the English version was good enough to get banned by Lakewood at some point, meaning it was good enough, it had enough stories in it that it was put into Chirim at some point. So I have a copy of the Sefer, I don't have the pre-Chirim version, meaning they edited it, they censored it or whatever. So I'm not sure exactly what's missing or what's not missing. It wasn't such crazy things, but the initial copy was definitely censored. I have the later version. Either way, they have an interesting story in there. It's part of a longer story about the Beis HaLevi staying in a hotel overnight with a bunch of people, very interesting stories that are contained there. But one of the things that happens is the following. A maskil, apparently, and everyone quotes this story. It's not only in My Uncle the Netziv, it's everywhere. Apparently a maskil, one of the enlightened, you know, let's say more secular-leaning Jews that lived in the area, came and met the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the father of the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, the grandfather of the Briska Rav, and of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the great-grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik from Yeshiva University from Boston. So the Beis HaLevi was staying in this hotel. A maskil, one of these secular-leaning Jews, came to him. And he said, you know, you're such a machmir. For someone who's such a Talmud Chacham, the Torah, the Gemara, I should say, Chazal say, Koach et hera adif. If you know enough learning, you should be able to find kulas for people. You should know so many sugyas that you should be able to give kulas, give leniencies to people. How come you're always so machmir? He was trying to fight with the Beis HaLevi. So the Beis HaLevi said, you're absolutely right, but I do have kulas. And some of them have been printed, some of them are going to be printed, and some of them I'll never print, but I could tell you them. And he listed for him seven kulas. These are known as the seven kulas of the Beis HaLevi. So each one of these kulas was very sharp-witted, very very clever. He first of all, he said, there are a lot of poskim who don't allow you to wear tefillin derabbeinu tam unless you're a big tzaddik and a chassid. I'm mekel. If you want to wear tefillin derabbeinu tam, you're allowed to wear tefillin derabbeinu tam no matter who you are. He said, a lot of the poskim say that on Erev Shabbos, I think we spoke about this in your office, on Erev Shabbos, which is on Shabbos, which is Erev Tisha B'Av, meaning if Erev Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, right? We spoke about this in the office. So if Shabbos is Erev Tisha B'Av, a lot of the poskim say you can't learn Torah after Chatzos because it's going into Tisha B'Av, not a good idea to learn Torah. I'm Mekel. you could learn even on Shabbos, Erev Tishbav. He said a few things like this. I think he said that you could, a lot of the posts say it's usher to fast on Rosh Hashanah. A mekel, you could fast on Rosh Hashanah. So he had a bunch of kulas like this. So one of the kulas of the seven that he listed for this maskil was he said a lot of the posts say that once you miss a day of Sfiras HaOmer, you're out. A mekel. If you miss a day of Sfiras HaOmer, you can keep counting with a bracha. That's what the Beis Halevi said to him. Now, in the English version, there's parentheses over here, which give an explanation. The explanation doesn't make so much sense, as we'll see soon. But from the way I just presented the story, which is the way the story is presented in my uncle, the Nativ, in Makor Barach, it sounds like the Beis Halevi was paskening against the Shulchan Aruch. And he was saying that even though the Bahag says that once you count, you miss a day, you're out, and you can't make a bracha anymore, the Beis Halevi was saying, I'm Mekel, you can make a bracha the rest of Sfira. If you look, there's a beautiful sefer called Ele B'Samar. Ele B'Samar, there's two volumes. One is about Brisk and one is about the Chaznish's family. It was written by Talmidim of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, who passed away, I don't know, not so long ago, 5 years ago. Something like that, right? Passed away not so long ago, maybe more by now. So Rav Aaron Leib Steinman was one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael. And he also came from Brisk. He hails from Brisk. So he has so many stories about the Reb Chaim, about the Brisk Rav, about the Beis Halevi, about Dain Rieger. He has so many stories from Brisk. So they collected from all of his different shirim, they collected a lot of the Maislach and also a lot of the Halachos that he quoted throughout his shirim from the Gedolim of Brisk. So in there, he has this from the Beis Halevi also, not quoting the Makor Baruch, not quoting Baruch Epstein's history book, but he says this story, or he didn't say the story, but he says this halacha, that the Beis Halevi felt that you could continue counting with a bracha even if you missed a day. So that's what it sounds like from these sources. The story seems somewhat inaccurate. If you look at what Moshe Sternbach has in his Sefer Tshuvas Van Hagos, that's his Tshuvas Farm we've quoted in the past, in Chelek Beis, so he presents the same story but with a little bit of a twist, and this comes back to what Johnny was pointing out. We're not going to get into the details, but it seems from some of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yerucham, the Avia Ezri, and others, it seems from some of the Rishonim that there's really two mitzvos, which the Gemara refers to, mitzvah lemimne yomi and mitzvah lemimne shvui, meaning there's a mitzvah to count the days and there's a mitzvah to count the weeks, which could have meant, in its extreme, it could have meant there's completely two separate mitzvos. One mitzvah to count the days of Sfiras HaOmer, one till 49, and one mitzvah to count the weeks, one through seven. And that's the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer, two separate components completely. A little bit modified, but still somewhat extreme, is that even if it's one mitzvah, it has two parts, which means that a person could be out of the day's counting and still in for the week's counting. So to say as follows, let's say a person misses day 8. So they can't count day 9, because they don't have the full unit of 49. But perhaps they can still count week 2. So they can say, Hayom is Shtei Shavuos of the Omer. So maybe even though a person would be out in days, they'd be able to be in for weeks. Right, so that's another debate, which Reb Chaim and Beis Halevi might have different opinions about. But we'll say for now a more modified opinion, which is only on the final day of that week, meaning you can only count that week. That's the most complicated. Yeah, at least complicated or at least
14,
exactly. You can count week by week, but you can't count the days in between. Correct. But what Rabbi Rosenberg is pointing out is that some of the poskim do apply this also to during the week. You can say, today is 2 weeks and 3 days. Today is 2 weeks and 4 days, because you're only counting the weeks. Right, but there's another opinion that also says that you could do even the days through the weeks. And you'd be able to make a bracha that way. And you'd be able to make a bracha that way, even if you forgot day 8. That's what the Ramesh Sternbach quotes from the Beis Halevi, which is similar to what we said before, but it's obviously not the same story, right? Because the Beis Halevi was reported in the story to have said he can count every day with a bracha going forward. So you want to look into history, so you have to try to find the primary source. Yeah.
How is Hanukkah candle lighting? It's the only thing I can think about.
Well, yeah.
A daily.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so we don't say that you can't continue going. That is a machlokas in Rishonim, whether there's such a thing as missing a day in candlelighting that will ruin you for the rest of the time. Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, yeah. It's not really related, because it's not a mitzvah of lighting 8 candles over the course of, meaning it's not a mitzvah of a complete unit, you wouldn't think. It's a mitzvah every day to light the corresponding amount of candles. Also, it's not even the ikar adin to light extra candles each day, so the count doesn't even matter. If you missed one, you could light one candle every day and still be yotzi. So it's a different, the counting is really just a mahadrim and a mahadrim. Or mahadrim, depending on how you say it. Yeah. So when you have a debate in historical sources, we're talking about stories. There's a machlokas and girsos about how to say a story over, so how do you decide? So sometimes you have to figure out who you trust more. sometimes you have to figure out who is closer to the source. So in this case, I don't know. I don't know who I trust more. But it's obvious that my uncle, the Netziv, it's in the title. He was closer with him. He was there. He was in the story. He's closer to the time period. Rabbi Moshe Sternbach is an Eid Neman on Halacha and certainly on stories. So how do you decide? So I'll tell you, there's a very simple way of deciding. You open up the Shailos HaTshuvos Beis HaLevi. If you open up the Tshuvos that the Beis HaLevi wrote himself in Chelek Aleph and Simen Lamentes, the Beis HaLevi writes this Tshuva. I don't know why this isn't brought more often in the storybooks, but he wrote a Tshuva about this, and he says exactly like Rabbi Moshe Sternbach said. He says that you can't count every single day with a bracha. That's against the Shulchan Aruch. Now, his answer, his psak is also not in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not as clearly in opposition to the Shulchan Aruch. He says that at the end of a week, you can count that week's count. Today is 2 weeks, today is 3 weeks, today is 4 weeks. No, not everyone agrees to that. The Beis HaLevi is still saying a Chiddush, and it's a big cool of the Beis HaLevi. It's one of the seven big leniencies that he had that you'd be allowed to do that, but it's something which the Beis HaLevi did hold for sure. The fact that the story is told by reputable people that he held, you can count every single day with a bracha, even when you miss one of the days, I don't know how that got mixed into history. It's very difficult to understand. It's against the Shulchan Aruch. The Beis HaLevi has a tshuva about it, not like that, but that is how they tell the story, except for the proof from the tshuva, that it's not true. Yeah, so is there any Eitzah? Is there any path forward for someone who missed a day? I mean, you got to keep counting without a bracha. That's obvious. The Mishnah Berurah says you certainly have to do that. The Mishnah Berurah also points out in his commentary on Siman Tav Peh Tes that ideally the rabbi, I don't know what you do in the shul, the rabbi makes the bracha. So the rabbi makes the bracha for everyone. So we'll talk about soon. What if the rabbi, I'm sure it never happened. What if the rabbi missed a day? So is he allowed to make the bracha in the shul? So Bli Nether, we'll get to that if we have time. But either way, so you're sitting in the shul. You forgot day, let's be honest, you forgot day two. And you're sitting in the shul, and the rabbi makes the bracha. So says the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should listen to the rabbi and have in mind. I think the rabbi has in mind when he's doing it that he's being motzi everyone in the shul that they should be yotzei if they aren't able to make the bracha. We assume any chazan. This is not everyone agrees to this, but Baal Tanya says this in his Shulchan Aruch. Rav Shechter Shlita quotes this regarding Halal that we assume that a chazan's stam kavana is that he's being motzi the tzibur. Whoever needs to be yotzei with whatever he's being motzi them. He's trying to exempt them from whatever chiyuv they have. So the rabbi or the chazan who's making the bracha has you in mind. So you should listen, have kavana to be yotzei with his bracha, say amen. So according to the Rush and all those opinions, the majority opinion that you really should be making a bracha, you're yotzei your bracha with him, and then count. And then count. That's what you should be doing the rest of the time.
But so typically, what we do, a rabbi makes a bracha.
Right.
Says amen, and then
right.
Makes your own bracha.
Right.
Is that a bracha levatala?
It's a strange thing. A bracha levatala, it's not. It might be
an. I'm not making a bracha. I was just yotzei.
Right. So the ideal, it is a strange thing. You're absolutely right. We do it by halal also. Strange thing by halal. So some of the poskim said not to do that. Some of the poskim say the bracha along with him so that you avoid the issue entirely. That is not the minug. The minug is to listen to the bracha, say amen, because you're hearing him count, you know what day it is, etc. And the answer is probably that when you're listening and you say amen, you should think I'm not being yotzei with his bracha. As long as you have the kavana not to be yotzei, you're good according to everyone. It's also built in. Nobody thinks they're being yotzei. So if you're thinking you're being yotzei, great. If you're not thinking about it, you're probably thinking, I'm going to make my bracha in a second. It's not an amen levatala if you do it that way.
Is there any next thing you can make a bracha?
Why? Because you're back in? No, you're out. You can't make a bracha the rest of the time. You're out. But in order to satisfy the opinion that you should be making a bracha, which is the majority opinion that we don't paskin like, you should say amen every single day to the brachos. Or you have someone at home who's able to make the bracha for you that didn't count in shul. Yeah. Okay, but is there ever a way that a person can make a bracha on their own? Or they're out? They're out. There's nothing to talk about. So here's where we come to our tshuva, our hero, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. Chelek Beis Simen Ayin Hei Nor HaChaim. You look on the page. So he has the following potential etza. It's very interesting. You'll see we'll come back to the Beis HaLevi soon. He suggests, what about the following case? Misha Inu Yachol Levarech HaSfiras Omer Mit Meisha Chisar Yom Echad. You missed a day. I Yachol Levarech Kedei Lahotzi Es Misha Hu Mechuyev Levarech. What's that case? Anyone want to tell me what that means? Yeah, David.
Can you make a bracha for someone else who
can't? Meaning I missed day two. Right. I missed day two. So on day three, I go over to David before shul and I say, listen, don't tell the chevra, but I missed day two. And he's like, you do this every year. Well, you mean the chevra knows. But okay, so I said, I missed day two. Don't tell him I missed day two. Here's the deal. I know you're still in. Can you not make the bracha? I'll make the bracha for you to be motzi you. You'll say amen, that'll be your bracha, and this way I can make the bracha on Spiras Omer and count. So what would you say? What would you guess?
And then you're back in?
Not back in, but again, at least I could do each time. Every day I got to find someone, or maybe David will volunteer to do it every day.
Can you say kiddush for someone
Good, good, good. So is this a regular question of saying Kiddush for someone, something like that? Exactly. That's the question we have to get to. But everyone hear the potential advice?
That'd be the trick for the rabbi.
That, potentially. Good, good, good. We got to get to all of this. But just before we even get into the halacha, does everyone get the suggestion? Yeah. Maybe I should use this guy not saying the bracha, say my bracha for him. This way I have a kunz. I get in the back door. I think there's no good English word for kunz, but...
You're not closing yourself.
Good, good, good. Good, good, good. We have to talk about the tzadim. What? Why would that work for the Bahag? The Bahag says you... Okay, good. So we have to talk about why that would work. But that's what the Rav Tzvi Pesach thing is suggesting. That perhaps you could do that. I'm sorry?
You can't do it for
yourself, but you're going to do it for someone else who needs the bracha. They'll say amen, and then you'll have made the bracha coming through the back door. Now, it sounds crazy, and some of the reasons were pointed out. If you're putter... If you can't, meaning your pater, meaning you can't make the bracha, right? Let's say David wasn't here. I cannot make the bracha because I missed day two and it's day four, or day three and it's day four now. I can't make the bracha. So how could I get him the bracha? How does that make any sense? So we'll talk about the svara soon. But what's so fascinating, if you look in the source sheet, the first paragraph that has bold, meaning the third paragraph on the page, V'chein shamati b'shem ha-ga'on ha-grid mi brisk. Who is that?
Rabbeinu.
Which is?
Briskerov's son.
So I think they say the story. It's interesting that you said that, because I think they say the story that this is actually the Beis Halevi.
Really?
That the Beis Halevi himself did this.
Really?
So, although we could double check that in the other Svarim, how they say it, but whether it's the Brisker of, whether it's the Beis Halevi, or it's Rav Beryl, which is the son of the Brisker Rav, who was the Brisker Rav in, you know, Yerushalayim later in history, whichever one it is, it's from the same family, right? Meaning this Masora of Brisk, of having unique shitas, unique ways of dealing with missed a day of Sfiras HaOmer, very fascinating. Again, this is his namesake, so Rabbi Yosef Dov, Rav Beryl, it's the same name, which is why it might mean either one in this tshuva. But whichever one it might be, so it's an interesting thing that in the family itself, you have the same thing, a story being told, that not only was this the advice that they gave, but it says they did it themselves. V'chein shamati b'shem ha-gona grid mi brisk, zatzal, she'asa kein b'yosem espala b'tur shliach tzibor. When he himself was a shliach tzibor, he actually did this, he actually practiced this.
I misread it, it makes sense. I thought it was he heard it from.
Right, b'shem,
yeah,
right,
it's
right. So it's a fascinating thing. So the Beis Halevi is getting thrown all over the place over here. Okay. Either way, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank begins to address this very question by referencing a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. If you look in the Tshuva here. Okay, we'll get to the Gemara. I don't see where it is right yet, right now. But he basically says, well, he references it basically. He says, L'chora davar pasha. You see in the beginning of that line? L'chora davar pasha. It's an open and shut case, which is what David said, although not everyone agreed. D'lami yigara mehad d'kaimelam b'chola mitzvah z'ber chosein. D'gam mishikvar yatza motzi. There's a klal in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, daf chaf tesam and aleph, which is called yatza motzi. Kol ha-brachos kulan. Every berchas ha-mitzvah, we should say. Every berchas ha-mitzvah that we make, we hold yatza motzi, which means that if you made Kiddush Shabbos morning, and then your friend comes over and he didn't yet have Kiddush, you are allowed to make Kiddush on his behalf. Why? You already made Kiddush. Why are you allowed to make Kiddush for him? So the Gemara says, no, yatza motzi. Even if you were already yotzei ha-mitzvah, which means what? You're not chayiv in Kiddush anymore, correct? We would think. You're not chayiv in Kiddush anymore. Good, whatever. So you're not chayiv in the mitzvah anymore, but you can still make the bracha for him in his chiyuv that's upcoming and say kiddush for the other person. That's what the Gemara assumes. As we say in the Beis Medrash, Mechitesi, where do you get such an idea from? How do you come on to that? How do you think that you could do that? So Rashi says a famous klal. We usually sing it in songs or say it as a Dvar Torah, but it's halacha. He says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zebazah. Everyone is interconnected. We're all interwoven. We're all one fabric, one mesh of the Jewish people. What's Rashi getting at? So if you look in the Chiddush HaRitva, the Ritva spells it out very nicely there in Maseches Megillah. He says that really, when it comes down to it, every Jew is commanded to do the mitzvahs that are applicable to them. And additionally, every Jew really has a command, has a chiyuv, that every other Jew should also do their mitzvahs. Meaning my chiyuv of Kiddush is first of all for me to do Kiddush, first and foremost. But additionally, my mitzvah of Kiddush means that I should really ensure I have some sort of achrayas, a level of responsibility, that all of Klal Yisrael perform the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's an unbelievable thing when you start to think about it. When you move to the world of Drush, if you look in the Tomer Devora, which is a famous Sefer Musar, it's really by a Kabbalist. The first parak, though, is very readable, which is why it's more of a Sefer Musar. But once you get past the first parak, it's a little harder to read. But the Tomer Devora has this in his section called She'iris Nachalaso, how we're all one organism, we're all one guf. The Meshech Chachma comes back to this. This is a common refrain in the Meshech Chachma, or Meir Simcha Dvinsk, where he constantly comes back to the concept that the Jewish people are like one big body with different limbs. Each person is a different limb. So I can't do every mitzvah because I'm not a Kohen. And I'm not a woman, so I can't do her mitzvahs, and she can't do my mitzvahs. Everyone has different role in Yiddishkeit. When we work together, when we all do our mitzvahs, so that composite body, that entity, that organism, that metaphysical unit of the Jewish people can fulfill all 613 mitzvahs, but only if we look at ourselves as She'eris Nachalaso, as one combined unit of the Jewish people, one body. Rav Soloveitchik comes back to this a lot also, and famously in his essay, The Community, it might be community without a the, I don't remember, but in different places, he wrote about this concept, this metaphysical unit that spans all of geographical places and also all of history in terms of time. The Jewish people are one unit. So the Ritva is saying that al pi halacha here, which is really what Rashi and really what the Gemara is saying, which is that even though I was yotzei my mitzvah, for example, of Kiddush, even so I can still be motzi, the guy who comes in after me, because he still has a chiyuv. And if he still has a chiyuv of Kiddush, that means I too on some level still have a chiyuv of Kiddush, which means I can be motzi him, yatza motzi. So the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank here in Har Tzvi says, Maishna, why should our case be any different? What was his words? Lami yigara. Why should our case be any worse? Our case is the same thing. It's true. Now, I'm ready for you to attack me, especially you. But it's true. I'm out of Sfiras HaOmer. But let's just say it very simply without getting into that yet. I don't need to count Sfiras HaOmer right now. Let's say it that way. And this guy does. So my chiv of Sfiras HaOmer may be inapplicable right now, but this guy's chiv is still applicable. So I'm still mechuyev to help him fulfill the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. And because of that, I can potentially, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says, why not? I can make the bracha on his behalf. He can say amen be yotzi with that. Then I got my bracha through the back door and I can count Sfiras HaOmer right after that. Now, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes, look in the second, again, it's the 1, 2, 3, 4th paragraph technically. We should start numbering the paragraph. So in the bold here in the beginning of the paragraph, you see he quotes a Pri Chadash. Everyone quotes this Pri Chadash, but he, I think, probably made it famous. The Pri Chadash disagreed with his approach entirely, and he quotes a Yerushalmi in Maseches Megillah in the second paragraph. The Yerushalmi tells us that if you have a Ben Ir, someone who is Chayev in Mikra Megillah before Purim, on Purim, on the 14th of Adar, sorry, I always get confused, Ir and Krach, but I'm going to try to get it right. A Ben Ir, who's Chayev in Mikra Megillah on the 14th of Adar, and he wants to be motzi someone who's a ben krach, who's chayiv on the 15th of Adar. They have different days that they're chayiv in Mikra Megillah. If you live in Eretz Yisrael, you bump into this. It happens all the time. But so he wants to be motzi someone who's chayiv on a different day. Is he able to do so? Is he able to lane Megillah for someone who's chayiv on a different day entirely? So the Yerushalmi is a suffix in the Yerushalmi, but the way Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank quotes it from the Pri Chadash is that you may not do so. And it's not 100% clear that this Yerushalmi's conclusion, but it does seem to be machmir on this, that you cannot do so. So based on that, the Pri Chadash says, what's the reason? Yatza motzi. I'm not chayiv today because I have a different day. He's not chayiv today, whichever case might be, whether I'm being motzi him or he's being motzi me. We're from different days. One of us is not chayiv that day, but the other one is. So yatza motzi, even though he's not chayiv right now, he should be able to motzi him. Says the Gemara, no, Yerushalmi. Says Yerushalmi, he cannot do that. And this Pri Chadash is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Pei Ches, Sifkatan Ches. The Mishnah Berurah says this from the Pri Chadash, that in such a case, you wouldn't be able to read Megillah for the person who's chayav on a different day because it's not your day. If it's not your day, you can't be motzi someone else. Now, you still doing the mitzvah still matters also. Never mind the bracha. It's not usher, but yeah, exactly. It won't do anything. Correct. Meaning, you're right. Until now, we've been talking about mostly the bracha. But here, it's applicable to a mitzvah. A mitzvah, it has to be a maisa mitzvah in order for it to work for someone else also. If I'm not related to this mitzvah, I can't do it for someone else.
What if it's not your day to read? What if it's not your day to read? You're reading for somebody else.
That's exactly what the Yerushalmi is wondering about. Again, it could be it's not your day or it's not his day. That's why you're asking, because I said it both ways. But in both of those scenarios, the Yerushalmi is wondering. Well, it probably goes in both directions. It's not 100% clear. But the Yerushalmi seems to come out that you can't do that because, hey, we're not on the same page over here. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, I'll get you in a second. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank goes on to say that there's actually a machlokas achron, literally a second. The Knesset HaGedolah, he says, quotes different opinions on this, whether in Mikra Megillah itself, whether you're allowed to be motzi someone else, if it's not your day or it's not his day, respectively, will it work to be motzi each other? Yeah. Yeah, why don't you guys just sit together or something, no? He's been like, he's upset that I called on you. I mean, he's been boiling up for like 5 minutes trying to ask this question, and you just sneak in there. Yeah, so you were motzi him in that question. How's that? Okay, so that's a very good question. That is a very good question. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank starts by saying that maybe that is a question. He does say that's a fundamental distinction. If you look in the next paragraph, he quotes the Tshuvos. Let's see, where's the Tshuvos? Oh, you know what, Mike, the next page. Yeah, the next page, on the second page, the first paragraph, Shuvar Isi B'Tshuvos Haradad, the Gaon Av Basin of Lusk. That's Rav David Meisels. So he suggests this fundamental distinction that you just suggested, which is basically, I think, obvious to a lot of us that's bothering us until now, which is that in the case of Kriyas HaMegillah, the Koray, the person who's reading the Megillah himself, he's not a Bar Chiyuva at all. Meaning, it isn't his day. He's not Chayev at all for himself. So he wouldn't be, if he read today, he wouldn't be Yotze, right? If he read today, he wouldn't be Yotze. So if he can't be Yotze, how can he be Motzi someone else? Or again, the flip case. If the guy can't be Yotze today, how could you be, basically like this, how could you be better, how could you, the listener, be any better than the person who's reading? If the person who's reading cannot do this today because it's not their mitzvah today, they're not a bar chiyuva at all. Meaning they're not related to the mitzvah, they're not someone who's chayiv in the mitzvah, then how could they be Motzi you at all? Now, there is room to push back, but on the flip side of things, if you have the Kiddush case, for example, I am a bar chiyuva in Kiddush, I just already did my mitzvah. But it is, I am relevant to Kiddush. I just did my mitzvah already, happens to be. But here, I can't do Megillah. I couldn't have done it earlier, and I can't do it. I have to wait till tomorrow. So how could one work with the other if one of them doesn't have any chiyuv whatsoever in the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, for example? Now, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank himself is not bothered by this. Because he says, go back to the basics. The Gemara told us Yatza Motzi. So fine, if you only had the Gemara, maybe it only means something like Kiddush. But what did Rashi say? What did the Ritva say? What happens when we talk about the idea of arvus? What's the result? I'm chayev because you're chayev. Yeah, it's absolutely true. Today is not my day or whatever. One of us, it's not our day. We don't match up. But my chayev is not because of me. It's because you're chayev. My chayev is the fact that I have a responsibility to make sure that everyone in Klal Yisrael does this mitzvah. Says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, it's counterintuitive, it's ironic. But the truth is, the fact that I'm not chayiv right now has no relevance if you have the concept of arvus, if you have the din, which the Gemara does present in Maseches Rosh Hashanah of Yatza Motzi, then the lamdas is that I become a bar chiyuva through the idea of arvus. If I become a bar chiyuva through the idea of arvus, then all the questions in the world don't matter. Because it's true, I'm absolutely not a bar chiyuva right now, but because I have arvus, because I have a relationship, I'm mixed in with all of Klal Yisrael, I have your mitzvah right now, and therefore I can say that I'm motzi you, even though right now I'm not actually chayiv. Now, you can definitely still argue on this. It's lamdish. Like we said before, we're going to talk about history, we're going to talk about lamdas, and we're going to talk about halacha. So this is definitely lamdish. What's the... What do you mean? Is it the same? Meaning, if you're already Yotze? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the better case.
That's the regular case. Meaning, it's like Kiddush. Right.
Your obligation. This is one step removed because it's
even though I'm not chayiv today, I can still do it for someone else.
Why doesn't this
apply to Megillah? No. So. Very good. Very good. Very good. David's asking an important question. We do have a Yerushalmi in Megillah, which says this is not true. So, if Tzvi Pesach Frank is arguing on a Yerushalmi in Megillah. Yes, that's the short answer. We'll get to it in a second. But yes, he's arguing on a Gemara and Megillah. Yerushalmi and Megillah, I should say, and be careful about that. The Rav Moshe Shtermach has in two places, he has comments on this. He doesn't quote Tzvi Pesach Frank to my knowledge, but he has comments on this line of thinking. It's in Mo'adim Bizmanim in Chelek Beis, where he basically argues on this logic because there's a... We won't get into it too much, but he has a chakira about Yatza Motzi. What's the pshat in Arvus when we say that you become a bar chiyuva through your relationship with everyone else in Klal Yisrael? Is the pshat that you become a bar chiyuva, as we've been saying until now, or is the pshat that you can now be Yotze the mitzvah because you're relevant to the person next to you? The nafkamina would be our case. In a case where you can't be Yotze the mitzvah yourself, then all the Arvus in the world doesn't help you. Because we'll use the Megillah still, if it's the 14th day and you're not chayiv till the 15th day, or if it's the 15th day and you were chayiv yesterday, you can't be yotze your mitzvah today. It's just not possible. So all the arvus in the world won't help you become a bar chiyuva. So that's a lamdish chakira that Rav Moshe Shtermach has. The other thing in Chelek Dalet in Tshuvos Van Hagos, Rav Moshe Shtermach writes about is that even if you don't have a kiyum mitzvah, you need a maisa mitzvah. But if it's not your day for the mitzvah, it's not a maisa mitzvah at all. It's just a zero. It's a nothing. It's meaningless because you're not relevant to the mitzvah, so it doesn't get started. So that's more in line with what you guys would have been thinking, which is that fundamentally you're disconnected from the mitzvah. You can't have some lumdish a twist that brings you back into the mitzvah through arvus. So Rav Moshe Shtermach does have those arguments. Now, what David pointed out is that we do have a Yerushalmi in Megillah, which seems to say against everything we're suggesting. So what do you do with that? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, you have it, let's say the second page, the second paragraph. So there he quotes from the Piskei HaRitva, where the Ritva clearly says against the Yerushalmi. And then Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank at the end of that paragraph notes, V'al kulam yesh le'esbale, very confusing, al ha-Rambam, shelo hizkir klal din Yerushalmi. What do you mean? The Rambam left this out. The Rambam in his entire Sefer of Halacha doesn't quote this din of the Yerushalmi, that one guy on the 14th can't be Motzi, the guy on the 15th, if he's a Ben Ir and a Ben Krach. The ain Ben Ir Motzi le Ben Krach. V'gam lehevich, v'zeh pela. He didn't say either way. He didn't say you could do it. He didn't say you couldn't do it. He didn't say ear to Krach. He didn't say Krach to ear. So why did the Rambam leave this out entirely? So you know what Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says? You know why he left it out? Because he doesn't hold like the Yerushalmi. Because we have a Bavli. The Gemara Bavli says, now this is an interesting discussion in the Rambam, whether the Rambam consistently or inconsistently or at all, paskins like Yerushalmis over Bavlis. It's a discussion. Meir Simcha has some lines about this in Meshech Achman or Sameach, and the Vilna Gaon has a famous line about this in Shulchan Aruch, where the Vilna Gaon assumes that the derech of the Rambam is to paskin like the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. That's not clear, but there are many instances in which he does do so. It's not obvious, let's just say it like this, it's not obvious that when there's a machlokas Babylonian Talmud versus Palestinian Talmud, that you automatically pass in like the classic Babylonian Talmud. Sometimes you pass in like the Talmud Yerushalmi, at least sometimes. It's a debate how often, but at least sometimes. There's a whole sefer written about this called, it's actually like a silly title because it's just describing what the book is about, but Hara'u Chachme Talmud Abavli Es HaTalmud Yerushalmi, something like that, by Rabbi Kusiel Greenwald, who wrote a lot of prolific author. So, I'm sorry?
Columbus, Ohio.
Yes, Columbus, Ohio. Exactly, yeah. He wrote the Kol Bon Avelis.
Right.
He wrote the Hilchos Avelis. He fought the reform there. He was a...
Don't they say that it's when Rama felt that the sugya was simpler or more clarified according to Yerushalmi, that's when...
That could be the rule, and then you and I can't necessarily figure it out. Well, maybe you. I can't figure that out.
Right.
But here... I guess apparently he thought the Bavli was more obvious. I don't know. Like, you have to figure out why and when. But yeah, absolutely. It should depend on the scenarios. That's correct. But one of the things that's important is that we usually pass in like Basrai. We usually pass in like the later opinion. So if the later opinion saw the earlier opinion, we assume they took it into account, and the Pasner Shai is based on that. So that's a relevant factor in terms of deciding Yerushalmis versus Bavlis. Okay, so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says the Rambam just didn't hold like this Yerushalmi. The Rambam held like our Gemara, not Shana. The Gemara says Yatza Motzi. Yatza Motzi means that as soon as I have a friend who needs to do a mitzvah, it's my mitzvah to help him do the mitzvah. So based on that, we have a din of Yatza Motzi, that I can be Motzi someone even if I've already been Yotzi my mitzvah. Says the, the Beis HaLevi, or Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, whoever you want to pin it on, the one of the deus in the Knesset HaGdolah, say all of them, that in our case of Sefiras HaOmer, the same thing can apply, which means that if I miss day 3 and I want to count day 4 of the bracha, I can't say a bracha because we hold like the Bahag in Shulchan Aruch that we can't continue to say the bracha, but I can ask my friend to not make the bracha, to kindly hold back and make the bracha. I'll make the bracha for him. I'll be motzi him. He'll say amen, and I'll be yotzei my bracha that way. Now, just in terms of, let's get into a little philosophy here. I don't know if this is like Kantian or whatever it is, but why is it fair that he should have to say amen? Meaning one of us is going to have to say amen to the other person's bracha and be yotzei with that. So why am I making him say amen to my bracha? I don't know. When it will come up is like...
Now he's yotzei, so he can make the bracha the next day.
For sure, but how come... For sure, but he should say to me, how about this? I'll make the bracha and have you in mind, and you say amen. You're the one who missed day 3. So first of all, stop talking to me. That's rude, the way you're saying it. You should say it more nicely. That's first of all. Second of all, maybe he's right. I'm not talking about the interpersonal relationships here. We're just talking about halacha. Would it be an kunz? The reason why it's important is because of what the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said the case was. It was when the person was the shliach tzibor. So it would be, let's get into this soon, but it would be embarrassing, and it would be awkward, and it would be just kind of uncomfortable and weird if he didn't make the bracha. If someone else made the bracha, he said amen and counted for the tzibor, it doesn't make any sense. So in such a case, or the rabbi is the one who forgot, and he wants to count for the tzibor. So if he asks someone on the side that he's going to be motzi him, it'll save a lot of discomfort by doing it in such a fashion. The truth is... No. Quietly on the side, I say...
No, but he,
that's what we're saying. According to Rav Tzvi Frank, he will say it. Meaning, he'll go to someone in the shul. He'll say, listen, between you and me, I'm out of Surah. But I need to count for the whole Tzibor, because I'm the rabbi, I'm the Shliach Tzibor. So you don't say your bracha, I'll have you in mind from up there, wink, wink. And then you'll say amen, but I'll be able to say the bracha in front of everyone. So that's an Eitzah that the Beis HaLevi or Rav Tzvi Frank thought was an Eitzah. You have to find someone.
You have to make sure there's someone who's going to answer and be yotze with.
Answer and going to be yotze, and someone who's discreet, hopefully, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Find someone.
I've
in such a case, the person will want to do that. You get the same person. You're going to be here for my every night. Help me out. It's going to be embarrassing if I don't count. It's something less, but it's Shomei Kona. We assume you're Yotze with it. So no, it works. Either way. Okay, good. Okay, the truth is that one could argue that our case is even better in one way. No? In our case, as we discussed, the majority opinion really is that the person is fully chayev in Sfiras Omer. We're just being choshish for the Bahag, but really, really, we assume Me'ikar Adin. We'll get to that. Blinader, we'll get to that. Yeah. We really assume Me'ikar Adin. We assume that really the guy can still count with a bracha. So the fact that he doesn't want to because the Bahag says not to and the Shulchan Aruch says fine, that's fine. But put that together with the fact that you have a possibility that you're being motzi someone else, it's not really such a chashash of a bracha levatala. You're not so concerned that it's wrong to make a bracha. First of all, probably I'm allowed to make the bracha. We just don't do that. Second of all, I'm probably being motzi the guy. You put it all together, it's like a sveika, meaning you put it all together, it comes out. It's not such a big deal to follow that. And the truth is, that is recorded by the students of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Sefer Halichos Shlomo, that he recommended this when a person would forget, let's say a shliach tzibur or a rav, they would ask someone in the kehila, Rav Neventhal recommended this as well, they would ask someone in the kehila to not make the bracha, I'll be motzi you, no one will know about it, wink wink, it's between us, and I'll say it in public, in the shul, and everyone will think that I'm still in the count. I think they say Rabbi Yosef Engel, I just didn't look it up. Yeah, the footnote in Halicha Shlomo, that's where it was. The footnote in Halicha Shlomo quotes from the Sefer Tziunim LaTorah of Rabbi Yosef Engel, that he said the same idea by a katan who grows up during Sfiras Omer. That's a whole debate. Let's say you're a katan for the first 20 days, and then your bar mitzvah was in the middle of Sfiras HaOmer. So can you start counting now? You didn't count the first 19 days. Are you out? Are you in? What do you do? So this is a whole discussion. Everyone talks about this. So one of the pieces of advice that Rabbi Yosef Engel gave is let him tell someone else, you don't make a bracha, I'll make the bracha for you, I'll be motzi you. And he'll be yotze that way with his bracha throughout the rest of the 20 whatever some odd days that are left. Rabbi Moshe Sturmach, I'll get you one second. Rabbi Moshe Sturmach is a little more wary of this sugya. As we mentioned before, he had some questions about it in Chelek Dalet of Shulchan Hagos, but he also is willing to be mekel at the end based on a combination of reasons. First of all, most of the Rishonim held you're allowed to still count with the bracha. Second of all, some assume that you can hold and utilize this arvus, that you're able to be motzi someone else, even though you're not chayiv yourself. And he adds, and this is what the Rav was just pointing out over here, that in a case of busha barabim, the guy's going to be so embarrassed, it's a kavod abrios issue, that people realize that he didn't count because he's the chazan, because he's the Rav, whatever it is. So it's a big busha, it's embarrassing for him. So we'll put all those things together and we'll allow you to do so along with your friend, make that trick, yeah.
So the current opinion is if you did the bracha for 30 days, you got no mitzvah, if you didn't.
That's a good question.
That's what it has to be if you don't.
Not really. We just assume you didn't, according to one opinion, you didn't complete the mitzvah.
So you don't get a mitzvah. How do you get
according to the majority opinion, it's a mitzvah every single day that you do. So you really still, which is why you continue counting 31, 32, 33, even though you're out from the bracha. The bracha and the mitzvah, you would separate. Brachos are not ma'akev, meaning if a person shakes lulav but didn't make a bracha, it doesn't ruin your mitzvah. So he's still doing the mitzvah according to most opinions, really, the majority opinion. Right. He's just not able to make a bracha because of a technicality, because we're careful about that.
But it's one mitzvah, so if you didn't...
According to that opinion, if it's one mitzvah, then maybe he didn't complete the mitzvah. But that is the minority opinion. Someone who is out is still doing the mitzvah every single day, according to most opinions, yeah. The most famous tshuva about this topic is Rav Osner. Rav Osner has a tshuva in Shevet Alevi Chilek Gimel. He actually writes about it in multiple places, but in Chilek Gimel, where he writes about our very case, a Rav or a Shliach Tzibur, who missed a day, and he wants to count with a bracha in front of everyone, but what's he supposed to do? He's out. So he suggests a lot of these things that we spoke about until now, and he says because of not only Kavod HaBrius, but really Kavod HaTzibur and Kavod HaTorah in the case of a Rav, so it's just totally inappropriate for people to be making fun that the Rav missed out or point out that he's not counting. It's embarrassing, it's awkward, it's uncomfortable. So because of that, you can certainly do this trick of asking someone to be Yotze, and even more, says Rav Osner, in the case of the Rav or the Shliach Tzibur, where it's an issue of Kavod HaTorah or Kavod HaTzibur, respectively. So, says Rav Osner, even if you didn't tell anyone on the side that you're being Motzi them, you can get up and make a bracha on Sfiras HaOmer in front of everyone as if you are still in. Why? This is a longer discussion, which we're not going to get into as we're ending right now, But it's because you might assume that Kavodah Brios, and certainly Kavodah Tzibur and Kavodah Torah, is docha certain Isurim. Not all Isurim, but certain Isurim. And because of that, there may be an Isur Derabanan that we're talking about here with Bracha Levatala. Even that's questionable because the majority of opinions that you could make a bracha, you put it all together, it's not so scary. But even if it was scary, in order to save this person from any undue embarrassment, and certainly to save Kavodah Torah and Kavodah Tzibur, we would allow him to make the bracha even if he didn't arrange this deal with the people in the vicinity in the shul. So based on that, Rav Vosner is makel potentially on more cases than just the ones we've been talking about, but at least what we spoke about in the Har Tzvi was the case of Yatza Motzi, that a person is able to continue to do mitzvahs for someone else even when they've already been Yotze. And what Tzvi Pesach Frank is adding for us, but it's based on people from previous generations, as we pointed out, is that even if it's not my mitzvah, but I'm doing it for someone else, that's enough to allow me to be motzi that person in the mitzvah. So we should all continue to count with a bracha. If we're out with a bracha, so we should listen to the chazan, we should say amen, and we should keep counting until Shavuos, where we're makabel the Torah, b'siyat d'shmaya, in good health and happiness. Shekaya.
How would you just... how